Well, I didn't know last week when I preached that I would be preaching this morning. But I'm just going to pick up where I left off. Is that okay? How good God is. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you this morning. I'm sorry that it's at the expense of Pastor. But isn't it good to see him here? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. It's a little too early for the pirate jokes, so hold off. Hold off. Hold off. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading verses 8 through 10, and I'm going to read from the NLT translation. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Somebody say, I'm not alone. And I don't fight alone. Amen. You don't may not get that if you weren't here last Sunday. We get through down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies or in our lives. Father, I am nothing, but I thank you for the opportunity to share your word with your people and with those who are about to become your people. I pray, Lord God, that your will would be done in this service and in every word that comes forth. Accomplish what you please in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a testimony. I love testimonies. I love when people take the time to share what God has done in their life and what God is doing in their life. I even like those faith testimonies about what God's going to do, because his word does not lie. And if he said it, he's going to do it. Amen. Paul's testimony here in Corinthians. Troubled, but not stressed out, not incapacitated. Just because we're going through a difficulty doesn't mean that we have to close down shop and just sit around and wait for whatever's going to happen to happen. No, no, no. We're overcomers. We're not spiritual wimps. Amen? Perplexed, he said, but not given out. Not depressed. Persecuted, but not left out. Not forsaken, not alone. Cast down, but not counted out. Not defeated. Through every trial, through every temptation, through every torment, through every trip up, the righteous do not give up. The righteous get back up and stand and declare the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rise again. Can you say amen? In Proverbs 24 and 16, the Bible said, the righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up. And if you've ever fallen, ever bruised your knees, ever had an issue, ever had a problem, had something go wrong, we've all been knocked down. But just because you've been knocked down doesn't mean you need to be knocked out or counted out. You need to get back up and stand up and declare that the God that we serve is a God of victory and a God who loves his people, as has already been expressed by the Holy Spirit here this morning. The God we serve does not fail, and his love does not fail. Hallelujah. Like Rocky Balboa from the movie Rocky, blow after blow, we need to keep moving forward toward the prize of the upward calling of God, the manifestation and ministry of Jesus Christ, both in us and through us. I've met so many people that said, well, when I get all my ducks in line, ducks don't walk in a line. When I get it all together, you're not going to get it all together. When I like what's going on in my life, I'm going to do something for God. No, you're not. You see, God calls us to be faithful regardless of our circumstances. Knocked down, but not knocked out. The Apostle Paul is kind of one of my spiritual heroes. I love the Apostle Paul. He was not perfect, but he continued to strive for perfection. What he went through to fulfill his calling is absolutely incredible. Think about it. He said 5 times he was beaten with 39 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was once stoned and left for dead. Don't you know the devil's left some of you for dead? He thought it was over. He thought he had knocked you up in the side of the head and broken your heart and woe, you know, woe is me. And he walked away thinking he had the victory, but he didn't know the third day was coming. Amen? Hallelujah. We've had some third day experiences. And the God we serve is a God that is alive. He was shipwrecked 3 times and once spent over 24 hours treading water in a stormy sea. I could tread water for about 10 minutes at most, and then I would go under, and Jesus would have to pick me up like he did Peter out of the lake. But think about that. 24 hours treading water in a stormy sea. He was robbed by thieves. Any of you ever been taken advantage of? Hey, if you're a Christian, you're going to be taken advantage of because the world has figured out we're a soft touch. So, well, I'm not a soft touch. Well, then soften your heart. Because Jesus said, if they're going to steal from you, go ahead and give it to them. Because I'll restore it. I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. Amen. There's been times when I've been ripped off, but God never allowed me to remain ripped off. Every time he made the difference and came back to restore what the thieves had stolen. And if you will trust him and obey him and believe him, he'll restore to you what has been stolen as well. Hallelujah. Amen. He was falsely accused by his own brethren in the church. I know that's never happened to you. Hello? There's a reason why we got so many churches. Because we got so many offended people. They just got to go out and start another one somewhere, you know. And they start one, and then somebody gets offended there, and then they go and they start another one. You see, God only has one church. Hello? So what do you mean? I'm not talking about one building, but he only has one church. The body of Christ is one body, one church, one kingdom. We are one in Christ Jesus. Nothing is more discouraging than friendly fire. When the people who have your back, are supposed to have your back, stab you in the back. That happened to the Apostle Paul. He spent much of his life in jails and prisons. Did you know, I'm convinced that Paul never decided to start a jail ministry, but he did it anyway. Because once he was in prison, he couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't shut up. He didn't sit down and just sulk because he was in prison. We know what Acts 16 says. In the midnight hour, him and Silas just began to sing praises unto God until they had jailhouse rock and God delivered them and then used him to win the jailer and his entire family to the Lord. You never know what's going to happen. Some of us may get thrown into prison one of these days if things keep going the way that they are. But it's all right. If we get thrown into prison, then we'll just have a prison ministry. We're going to take whatever happens to us and lift up the name of Jesus Christ because he's worthy of our praise and adoration. He suffered hunger, thirst, nakedness, and cold. Yet Paul declares, "We have been knocked down, but not knocked out." I know the literal translation says we've been knocked down but not destroyed, but I just like that boxing image. Knocked down but not knocked. If you're knocked out, they count you out. Hello? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're out. No. God's people may be knocked down, but they're not knocked out because they get back up. He said, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." But then I love what he said right after that. "Let as many as are mature or mature, however you want to pronounce it. Have this mindset. Last week I told you it's all about mindset. It's all about understanding who you are and who God is and what that means. It's all about recognizing that there's a right way to think and there's a wrong way to think. It's important that our minds are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might be able to prove what is the perfect will of God in our lives. Let as many as are mature have this same mindset. What? The mindset that Paul had. He said, I count all of this as dung. Cow poo. For the cause of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The key to victory in life will always be our mindset. Our biggest battle will always be between our ears. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 that God has given us the mind of Christ. It's his mindset that enables us to pull down strongholds and defeat the lies of the enemy. What are strongholds? Well, in 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible says that strongholds are human reasonings and false arguments and agendas that do not line up with God's word. Whatever you're going through, if it don't line up with God's word, you'll get through it. Because he won't leave you there. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to minister to you. He's going to keep you. He's going to sustain you. Strongholds are those lies of the enemy that we choose to believe, that we allow to settle into our mind and get into our spirit because they're depressing and demoralizing. And we'll allow a disappointment to wreak havoc on us if we're not careful. That's why the Bible said, cast all your cares on him. Because he cares for you. There are times when we need to come to Jesus and just say, God, here it is. I'm dumping it on you. I don't know what to do with it anymore. I don't know how to handle it anymore. I can't take it anymore. You know. So I'm just going to dump it on you, and I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to trust you to keep your word to me. In Habakkuk 2 and 4, the Bible declares that the just shall live by faith. What I love about that is that that is quoted three more times in the New Testament. In Romans 1 and 17, in Galatians 3 and 11, and in Hebrews 10 and 38, it says again, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Last week, remember I talked about we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is what we believe. It is our faith. It is what we've put confidence in. It's what we are trusting in. And our faith is what enables us to overcome. The just or the justified or the redeemed of the Lord shall live by faith. It is not because we've got this plan and we figured it all out and we know from the beginning to the end. No. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know whose God I'm serving. And I know that he already knows. And I know that he's already provided. He said, I've given you everything you need. Everything that you need to remain in my righteousness and in my good standing. But Hebrews 10 and 38 doesn't just stop by saying the just shall live by faith. He also gives us a warning. He said, but if anyone draws back from living by faith, my soul has no pleasure in him. See, we can't afford to draw back. We can't afford to give up. We can't afford to just lay down. He said, because I'll have no pleasure in that. That is not what my children do. He goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible to please God. And so we live by faith. Just as Paul lived by faith. He said, perplexed, but not in despair. We don't always know why we're going through what we go through. God's plans don't always make sense to us. But if we are kingdom dwellers, then through Jesus Christ, we trust him. Like King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If some of you remember the story, the enemies of Israel, particularly the Moabites, were coming against him. And Jehoshaphat is literally praised and he says, God, I don't know what to do. I don't have armies big enough to fight them. I don't have the money to hire armies to protect us. I don't know what to do. But he didn't stop there. But he said, our eyes are on you. You know what? You're not going to drown as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus. You may have to tread some water, but you're not going to drown because he's going to keep you. He's going to sustain you. Paul wrote, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. One of the great tricks of the devil is to get you in a bad place and then make you feel bad about being in a bad place. You know? Well, I'm going to go back to church after I get all this straightened out. I don't want anyone to know what a mess my life is. It's too late. We know. Because we've been there. Once everything is where it needs to be. No. Jesus went after the lost sheep that was caught in a thicket. He went after the one that had already got misplaced and needed help. And really, that's why the church is here. To help each other, to bless each other, to disciple each other, to mentor each other, to encourage each other. Why in the world would I want to stay away from the very place that I can get help? You know, hey, if you're bleeding out, go to the doctor. Hello? And if you're struggling, don't struggle alone. Don't fight alone. Get with your family and allow them to minister to you and build you up and lift you up and encourage you. Because the lie of the devil is shame. You're going to be so ashamed. Once we get over that lie, we can shout with the best of them. Hello? David had to get over a few lies in his life, but boy, could he dance and shout and praise God and worship the Lord. And that's what I was talking about last week from Psalms 100. We come before his presence with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. We shout out and dance before the Lord because he is good. Not because my life is good, because he is good. Sometimes life can stink, but he is faithful. I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him, he told Timothy. The psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes from the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Forevermore means forevermore. Persecuted but not abandoned. The devil hates us. He wants to distract us, discourage us, and defeat us. He wants to steal our joy. He will even incite others to oppose us. Every difficulty in life is not directly caused by the devil, but Peter warns us the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for a way to attack you. And more than anything, he wants to put in your mind that you're missing out on something or you've done something to be ashamed of and you can never find forgiveness. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. The Bible says, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust. No evil will defeat me. Turn to someone and just say that. No evil will defeat me. Amen. Amen. Proverbs said, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 4, it says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. We go through things in this world to prepare us to help other people go through things in this world. And the sooner we learn that, the less shame we have. And the more confidence we have in a God that will not fail us, even in our difficult times. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. In fact, Hebrews 13 says, he will be your helper. The Bible said, struck down, but not destroyed. Football players are trained and conditioned to get back up after being knocked down. Amen? Somehow we need to train ourselves to get back up after being knocked down. I'm not the Apostle Paul, but let me share a little list with you. In 1974, 3 years into my evangelistic ministry, I had to have surgery. That baby's beautiful. I understand why you'd be distracted. I had a ruptured hernia, and I went 3 months without any income whatsoever. Someone said, well, how did you survive? I don't know. I honestly don't know except God. I know we ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly. I know we ate a lot of fried bologna sandwiches. I remember very clearly eating Hamburger Helper without any hamburger. Yeah. I don't know how we paid that $203 a month payment on that motorhome, which back then was a big payment and a lot of money. Especially when you're not working and you cannot work and you have no source of income. I can honestly tell you, I'm not even sure how we survived, but we survived. Amen. Many of you know that in 1977, I had a sister in Cleveland, Ohio, who was murdered by her husband. I got a call in the middle of the night waking me up. I'm pastoring in Chicago. And I drove for the next 6 hours to Cleveland, Ohio, to check in with my family. I don't even remember now all of the details of that. I just know that I felt the pressure of keeping my family together when they thought their world was falling apart. How did you make it? God. It was God. In fact, I spent an entire week with my family and then had to go back to Chicago on a Sunday. And I thought I was going to be able to get up and preach. And I got up and stood before the congregation that morning. And the sorrow just overwhelmed me. And I began to weep and cry. I couldn't even preach. And you know what happened? 120 people got up and walked up onto that platform and put their arms around me and began to pray for me and cry for me and weep with me during that time of sorrow. And God sustained me. He is faithful. In 1983, my sister, who was my closest sibling and the one that helped me get into the ministry, died of cancer. I couldn't figure out for the life of me what God's plan was in that. She was a godly woman who literally was discipling hundreds of young people in a ministry very much like Teen Challenge. It's called Youth Challenge. And it didn't make sense to me. But God healed that broken heart. I could list a bunch of other things. But I think I've said enough for you to understand. I haven't gone through what the Apostle Paul went through. But I've went through my share of suffering and pain and misery. Don't want to offend anyone. Even while I was pastoring here, I had a staph infection. Is it in your body? No, in the body. Someone that I had hired to help us build the kingdom of God decided to undermine me and come against me. And thank God for Pastor Bob and Dina, for the Cockrells and the Lannings, and Alan and Patty Watson, who served here for many, many years, who stood up and said, this isn't happening. This isn't going to happen. And it didn't. It broke my heart, because these are people I loved and I was investing in, who lied about me and tried to destroy my influence and my ministry. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. You know why I'm not bitter? Because I recognize that they weren't my enemy. The devil is my enemy. They were confused. They were messed up. But they were not my enemy. People aren't your enemy. The devil is your enemy. People do crazy things sometimes, and we don't know why. We don't understand why. But I don't have to live in fear of that. Because no weapon formed against me can succeed. When the Bible says prosper there, it means to be able to succeed, to accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. Even in the life of Joseph, and we know the story that his brother sold him into slavery, and then he ended up in jail accused of something he did not do. But in the end of the story, he said the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save a multitude of people. I'm telling you, the God we serve is a good God and a great God and a wonderful God. Not only is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, but Romans 8 and 31 says, greater is he who is for you than he who is against you. I've learned through the knockdowns of life that God is faithful. If you want to be distressed, look within. Because there's times when you don't have the answer. If you want to be defeated, look back. Because if you want to find something to complain about, you can't. If you want to be distracted, look around you. I don't know what everyone else is doing. Why should I do anything? No one else is doing anything. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. How's this going to work out? I don't know. But if you want to be delivered, look up. There's an old chorus that says, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Can I tell you that everybody gets knocked down from time to time? The victorious learn from their troubles and get back up and move forward. Romans says he will freely give us all things so that we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I want to close with this. Like Nehemiah when he was building the walls, he said, I won't come down. I won't come down. I won't stay down. I won't accept being down. Why? Because I belong to Almighty God. And he is for me. He is for me. And his love is unfailing. Because I know that God is good. Because I know that his love is unfailing and forever. Because I know he's faithful to all generations, I will not give up. I will get back up and declare the victory of the Lord. Stand to your feet with me this morning. I'm going to pray in just a minute. But before I pray, I'm going to ask you to repeat something with me. You ready? I won't come down. I won't stay down. I won't accept being down. I belong to God. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Can we repeat it just one more time? I just want to make sure the devil hears. I won't come down. I won't stay down. I won't accept being down. Because I belong to God. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen. Amen.